Blog Talk Radio.
This is Johan, and when I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. For some great sports talk and debate, check out the Mayor on After Further Review on Tuesday nights. Call in.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on a pro. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the Mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
It's Tuesday, know what to do day. Got the Mayor in the building, man. TQ Palace Radio After Further Review is in your ear right now. Stand up if you like sports. Stand up. Let's get it popping. We got a live one tonight, man. We're about to really get into some things, man. It's a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of stuff going on. Let me get the particulars out the way. How y'all doing? I'm the Mayor, man, in the building, man. February 11th, 2014. You're listening to After Further Review on GQ Palace Radio. Shout out to the big homie Rich behind the board. You know what I'm saying? Making it happen back there. And Miss Lavina doing her due diligence and all that. Salute. We get it on and popping. You know what we do, man, every Tuesday night, man, it goes down. A lot of conversation, live debate, man, you know what I mean? And if you say something fly, you know what I mean, we hit you in the head with the round of applause if you say something fly. So I'm going to say something fly, and then the round of applause is going to come. Check it out. One, two, three, something fly, and here comes the round of applause. Oh, well, they're a little late on the round of applause button, but it's okay. They're doing their thing back there. But they're going to come with the round of applause. Eventually, the round of applause will come. So, welcome to After Further Review. I'm the Mayor. I'm in the building. When we have a call in the on the line, man, the bell rings. And that's basically the rules of the game, man. No cursing, man. Make your point, you know what I mean? You have the floor to make your point, say what you got to say, and if we rock with it, we rock with it. If we don't, we're going to let you know in no uncertain terms. It goes down. All right, so let's get it on and pop it, man, since the applause button is not working tonight or something, you know what I mean? It's going down. I'm still waiting for my applause, man, but it's I guess they sleep at the wheel. They're eating some potato chips or something. It's going down. It's all good. Michael Sam, man. That's the big name in the news right now. If you don't know, he's a football player from the University of Missouri, and he announced that he was gay. Really, I don't really have any comment or any feeling one way or the other about it. You know what I mean? He is who he is. You know what I'm saying? He does what he does. But my own little observation about this since in the last couple of days. Since this news has came out, they always introduce him or call him a draft prospect. You know what I'm saying? I've never heard anybody call Jadeveon Clowney a draft prospect or Aaron Murray a draft prospect. You know what I mean? So I mean that don't let his sexual orientation or whatever get in the way of how he's perceived as a football player on the field, because he does his numbers. He's All-American, first team, you know what I mean? But I don't think that, personally, he's going to be, drafted in the first round or even the second round. He might get drafted, he might not. But, they got till April to figure that out. And it's going to be, it shouldn't be, but it's going to be a lot of attention put on whatever, city drafts him, or or he might end up as an undrafted free agent. Then it goes to the situation where he might want to turn around and sue the NFL, because he didn't get drafted. So you put them at a position, you know what I mean? And a lot of conversations going around saying, well, did he make the announcement to kind of like boost up or guarantee him a spot, you know what I mean, in the draft or whatever. It's a bunch of different ways you can look at it, but I just choose to, you know, stay on the outside of it, you know what I mean, and really don't have one opinion one way or the other. If he gets drafted, cool. If he doesn't, you know, it's whatever, you know what I mean? But he's going to, you know, go on his own merit, and they try to compare it to Jason Collins. I think that Jason Collins wasn't that nice as a basketball player to begin with. So, he made his announcement, and then he wants to make it like seem like nobody wanted to pick him up because, you know, the announcement that he made, I don't think that was the point at all. I just think Jason Collins wasn't that nice. So, you know, but it is what it is. It's kind of like you're putting these teams that are in position. You're putting the leagues that are in position now. You know what I mean? You have, you know, are you going to draft me? You know, he said he told his teammates, his last year in college or whatever, they knew or whatever. That's fine, well and good. You know what I'm saying? But it shouldn't make a difference one way or another. They say it's not. They say it shouldn't. But we all know what it is. After further review, man, we in the building, man. We're going to get it popping. 646-200-3838 is the number to dial, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Another little topic, man, that's floating around is the kid from Oklahoma State, Marcus Smart. You know what I mean? He had a confrontation with a fan. Just my own personal opinion and observation from watching the tape, you know what I mean, a number of times. I don't think he would have went off the way he did if the guy just calls him a piece of crap. That's just my opinion. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they say worse stuff than that during the game and wherever you go on the road or whatever, they'll call you worse names or whatever. I think he said something that he wasn't really supposed to say, and that you could tell by the reaction, because he really was flipping out. And I don't know what was said. I wasn't there. But from his reaction and how he reacted to what the dude said to him, he put hands on him. Like, you know what I mean? So he had to cross some kind of other line. That's just me, my opinion on that right there. You can call up, man, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to give your opinion, man, on either one of those situations right now. We're going to get into a lot of things, man. We got to touch on the NBA, you know what I'm saying? We got to touch on college basketball. My Syracuse Orangemen in the building, number one team in the nation. Respect that. Salute that, Syracuse Orangemen, all the way live. UConn, the ladies, number one in the nation, undefeated, you know what I mean? Geno Auriemma doing his numbers as usual up there. Don't beat me in the head with it now. Don't beat me in the head with it now. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. It's going on. Let me see. Wow, they hitting me really in the head right now. We live and direct, man. 646-200-3838. Is the mathematics to die. We're about to hit him in the head. You know what that means when the bell rings. Mr. Hollywood, what's good, man? Welcome to the bigger show.
Hey, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, sir.
What's going on? I heard you brought some company with you, man. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you got the sound effect.
I got it. It's in full effect now. You know what I mean? He's still just eating his, you know, French fries or Wendy's or whatever. But, so what's good, man? We in the building, man. I heard you brought some company with you.
Yes, I did. I brought three of my favorite players in the whole NYC Jayhawk, BK Jayhawk organization. For those of you who don't know, I run a youth basketball organization for kids 8 all the way up until they get grown-ups. And we brought a couple of kids out here tonight. Get a little recognition, get a little interview out, you know, promote themselves, promote the organization. You know, we're just giving back and doing a lot of things for these kids out here today. So it's great for them to be on your show this evening.
All right, and it's an honor for me to have them on the show, man. Welcome to the show. We got Taquan Pearson. Did I say your name right, yo? Taquan?
Tay.
Taquan, okay, no doubt. I'm sorry. Taquan Pearson in the building. We got Emmanuel Jones in the building. What's good? Emmanuel Jones in the building. Testing 1-2.
Yeah.
I got you. Emmanuel Jones in the house. And then we got my man Jalen Gray. What's good, Jalen? Welcome to the bigger show.
Yeah.
All right. So, Yeah, see, they're on point with it now. That here you go. I like that. So I'm gonna set it off with my man Taekwon. Taekwon, man, 12 years old, sixth grade. I hear you doing big things, man, for your basketball squad, man. Big yourself up, man. Talk about yourself a little bit.
The Jayhawks is it's a good team to be around. We have a good team and we have fun a lot, and we like to win games and have fun. That's all I gotta say.
That's all you gotta say. So what position you play?
I play small forward and sometimes I play point guard.
Sometimes you play point guard. So as a small forward, do you feel like you see the floor better, or you know the floor better, or would you rather be handling the rock all the time as the point guard?
I'd rather be in a small forward.
Okay. All right. Emmanuel, 14 years old. What's good, Playboy?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, nothing, man. Talk about yourself, man. What's your contribution to the squad, man? What brings you to the biggest show?
Yeah, I'm like one of the few captains of this Jayhawks team. You know, it's a good organization to be in because, you know, it's like a brotherhood. As you know, we all like winning. You know, we fight together and we try our best, and you know, we never give up. So, you know, it's a good team to be on.
Okay, so what happens when you're in a situation where you might be down 2 or 3 points with like a minute to go? Do you panic? Do you keep your composure? Do you know what to do once you're in those situations? Or have you ever been in those situations?
I mean, like, not yet, but
okay.
Imagining it, I think that, you know, I would have to keep my composure, try to keep the team correct so that we could think correctly and not just panic and make a mistake.
That's right. I like that. That's what it is, man. Always keep your head about yourself regardless, because the game is not over until all those zeros is on the board, man. Anything can happen, as you see when you watch games or whatever. Again, welcome to the bigger show, man. Jalen, what's good, man? 14 years old, ninth grade, man. Hearing a lot of big things about you, my dude. Tell us about yourself, man. Welcome to the bigger show. Talk about yourself a little bit.
I play on the Jayhawks. I play Christian Ando, and I play in multiple tournaments with them. And I like playing with them because it's like, they're like, it's fun to play with them. And like, when we win games, it's like, it's a big accomplishment because you all work hard to do it and win this game and win a championship because you all put in work to get the W.
Okay, so what's the best part about you know, I know you like winning. You say you like winning. So what's the best part about, like, you know, you scout a team that you get ready to play. You know what they do. You know what they like to do and how you're going to stop it. So when you actually, you know, when you practice it on the practice court, and then when you use it in the game, does it really, you know, it works, right? It shows you that it does work if you practice the right way and you do what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, it feels good. Because
yeah, no doubt.
Because you practice when you practice. And you practice when you practice and you work. On the game,
okay.
So it works.
That's what it is, man. I appreciate you guys coming through, man. Keep rocking, man. Doing what you do, man. Mr. Hollywood.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, man, I see you brought three of your mans with you, and yeah, they representing themselves real good. Talk about your team a little bit, man, and what's been going on, how you put it together, and what you're trying to do, and let the people know, man, what's going on.
Well, it
hold the bell
18,
for 1 second. Hollywood, make your point.
It started 18 years ago. Myself and my partner, Winston McLean, a.k.a. Coach Lou, we had a love for the game, and we decided to start coaching. And here we are 18 years later, and we're on the verge of becoming a big-time AAU team. And, you know, these guys here, you know, they represent the organization. You know, our motto is love, loyalty, and respect. And I could say that these three gentlemen, along with everybody else in the organization, follows this motto to the T. I mean, we have good days, we have bad days, but overall we have great days. And as Tay or Manny said, I'm not sure which one was, we are brotherhood. We are brotherhood. We win together. We lose together. I'm very tough on them. I expect a lot out of them. I demand a lot out of them. And, you know, at the end of the day, they get the message and they come out and they work hard and they play hard for me and they play hard for the organization. And also I like to give a big shout-out to their parents.
Okay.
Because without their parents,
yes, sir.
Without their parents, they wouldn't be who they are today.
That's right.
I try to give as much discipline and love as I could possibly give them, and they all know that I love them.
Right.
But at the end of the day.
Hold that thought for a second. We got call in line. Barry, what's good, man? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
How you doing, man?
Everything's good. I got a few special guests in the building with me tonight, man. You know what I mean? We chopping it up real quick. You know what I mean? Don't want to keep them up too late. You know what I'm saying? So we got them a little early and all that. You know? So yeah, we got Taquan Pearson in the building. We got Manny Jones in the house, and we got my man Jalen Gray from Brooklyn Jayhawks repping. And I'm just talking to them about, you know, how they doing it and how they making it happen, man, and preparing themselves for, you know, possibly a next level type situation. So that's where we at with it right now.
Okay, that's cool. You know, I coached junior high for like 10 years too. 5 years girls, 5 years boys. So it's really important at this time because that's when they're developing their personality and their skills. So you just got to listen to the coach and stay loyal, like Hollywood said, because, you know, it's really, you know, a good thing to do to keep you out of trouble. Keep your head up, man. You know?
These guys have been with me since April 7, 2012. And the first day I met them, it was a challenge. It was a challenge. I mean, we had chunky kids. We had non-motivating kids. We had kids that came, you know, trying to run their own program. But, looking back at it now and looking at it is now, today, definitely a big improvement. I mean, these three boys, I mean, I can give you a real rundown on all of them.
Right. Hold on, one second. I'm gonna let Taquan, Emmanuel, and Jalen speak on how it was when they first started to up to right now. So, because I think if you hear from their perspective, you know what I mean. I mean, I know you know you're the coach. You do what you do, but I want to hear from them from the first day. Taquan, from day one when you first met Mr. Hollywood, man. How did you? You know, how did you react, and how did you feel, and how did you think? Did you think you'd be here right now, like 2 years later?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like I worked one of the hardest on the team.
Mhm.
I agree.
I always push myself.
Okay.
Even when it's hard, I still push myself.
Okay, so you knew from day one that you were gonna make it and you were gonna be there and you were gonna, you know, do what you needed to do to stay on the team.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up. Manuel, man, same question to you, man. From the first day, did you think that this was gonna be something for you that you could, you know, become a Brooklyn Jayhawk?
At the beginning, I wasn't really sure because
right.
This was like the first team that I actually like been on.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really know how it went, and it's not like my decision if I stay or not. So I was just worrying about doing what I had to do, working
right.
hard so that
respect.
I can actually made it to that point.
That's right. Respect that. That's just doing what you got to do, man, maintaining your balance. And here you are, you know what I mean? A couple years later down the line, still rocking. And salute that. Jalen, same question to you, my dude. From day one, did you see yourself as being able to, you know, go through the process of, you know, doing the practicing and getting you a starting position and things of that nature to right now? Did you see that for yourself?
From day one, yeah, because when I was like little, I loved playing basketball, so I had to find a team and stay dedicated to the team, so I had to put work in so I can get to where I am now.
Okay, that's what it is, man. So you got to respect these young cats, man, doing their thing. Real quick, man, I don't mean to get into all your business, but you on the Bigger Show now, so you're putting it out there to the world. Taquan, who's your favorite basketball player, man, and your favorite team? Yeah.
LeBron James.
Uh-oh, okay. Hold that thought, Taquan. Hold that thought, man. He said LeBron James, right? He did. I did hear him say LeBron James, right? I don't want to, you know, misquote the young brother. Okay, bong bong. What's your favorite team, Taquan?
What's my favorite thing about LeBron James?
No, LeBron, the Heat is your favorite team?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, no doubt. Got you. Boy, oh boy, you in the right place now. Emmanuel Jones, what's your favorite team, man, and your favorite player?
I think my favorite player, I have to say, is like, somebody I admire. Chris Paul.
Chris Paul? Okay.
Yeah, Chris Paul.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Any particular reason why?
Yeah, because I could see myself, like, play like him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a point guard.
Okay.
I see myself playing like the way he plays.
No doubt, no doubt. I like that. Just distributing the ball and coming down and making it look easy, right? What's your favorite team, though?
I mean, living in New York, you expect somebody to be like, oh, I like the Knicks. Like, I do watch the Knicks, but this year they not doing that well.
Right.
So, I mean, I like the way the Portland Trailblazers play.
I got you. They got a big one tonight. They got a big one tonight, man. As soon as we get off the phone at 10 o'clock, man, NBA TV is going down. Jalen, man, your favorite team or your favorite player?
My favorite player would have to be John Wall.
I like that. I had him on my all-star team, John Wall. Go ahead.
I think John Wall because, like, he can score at will, and, like, mm-hmm. he likes to pass the ball.
Okay.
He can shoot at some moments, but not all the time.
I hear you on that. So what's your favorite team?
My favorite team is, it was the Lakers, but then Kobe got injured, and a lot of stuff went down. So I couldn't really rely on them, but I still like them. Still my favorite team.
So the Lakers your favorite team? All right, no doubt. I got you. So I got Taquan is down with Miami, Emmanuel Jones rocking with the Trailblazers, and Jalen is doing his thing with his squad is the Los Angeles Lakers. Kia would like you. I was getting ready to say for a minute. I thought we lost him for a minute in Hollywood. He was like, Kobe got hurt, things went down, you know what I mean? I might have to jump ship, but he's still rocking with his squad. I like that. So, yeah, man, you're rocking with the biggest show right now, man, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. We got a loaded house in the building tonight, man. Mr. Hollywood brought three of his players from the Brooklyn Jayhawks, Mr. Taquan Pearson, Mr. Emmanuel Jones and Mr. Jalen Gray is in the building, you know what I mean, chopping it up with the mayor on a Tuesday night, man. I'm not going to keep them out too late. I know they got responsibilities and all that, get their homework done and all that good stuff right there. Yeah, man, so Hollywood, man. So, again, man, what games they got coming up, man? You fill us in.
Well, coming up tomorrow, we have a big game coming up down in the Cobra Classics, which I thank God because it took 18 years for us to get on this circuit finally. I mean, we worked really hard to get on this circuit, and we're playing with some of the big, big, big boys in this league. So we'll be down tomorrow at the Navy Yard Boys and Girls Club at 200 Nassau Street, and that game is at 6:45 tomorrow. That's
okay.
My 14 and under team. And by the way, Taquan Pearson, who's 12 years old and should be playing 12 and under, is playing 14 and under. First possession 2 weeks ago was a nice move to the basket with that wicked left hand that he has.
Lefties in the building. Salute the lefties. Gotta represent the lefties because we all in our right mind. But anyway,
And Mr. Jalen Gray,
uh-huh.
who also plays on that 14 and under team.
Yes, sir.
Last week, I just want to give you my Kevin Holland impersonation. There was a kid standing underneath the basket, and Mr. Gray had a fast break, and he went up and put it on this kid. And I have to say, like Kevin Holland, buckle up. I mean, buckle up, dude.
Right.
That
right.
was a
like that,
pounding
huh?
chest, pounding moment for me.
Real ugly,
so,
right? Okay. Super
Saturday,
ugly. I ain't mad.
Saturday.
I'm not mad at that at all.
Saturday.
That's what it is, man. But, yo, you like to hear that, man, because, you know, they're doing good things. They're handling their business in the classroom, man, and handling their business on the court, man. So we just wanted to acknowledge that right quick, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to keep you guys too long. I don't know if, you know, Mr. Hollywood going to let you hang out all, you know, till 10 with us. But what's the deal? So they hanging out or, you know what I mean?
But one last thing. On that Saturday, we are also on the New York City Housing Authority tournament.
Right.
And Mr. Manny, who, to me, no offense to anyone on this line, has the best IQ of anyone in the whole organization. I've been telling his mother, I've been telling anyone who would listen to me this since April 7th of last year. His IQ for the game is ridiculous. I mean, he breaks down the defense. He's able to read things, and he's very successful in what he does. His team is looking to get on the winning streak here starting on Saturday in the New York City Housing Authority.
No doubt.
So,
represent that. That's
what we're doing.
No doubt. Salute that. I didn't hear the bell or nothing. But, Kia, you on the line? Thank you. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the biggest show. What's up?
Hi, how are you?
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good.
We got a fellow Laker fan in the house with you, for you, youngster Jalen Gray. He plays basketball. He said he's a Laker fan.
Oh really?
Yeah, he was like, yo, I don't know. He was teetering for a minute. Yo, Jalen, you there, right? You on the line?
Yeah, he was
teetering for a second. He was like, yo, I'm rocking with the Lakers. He was like, when Kobe got hurt and some things was going down. You know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, Kia, like you. Yeah.
Well,
so
you can't be teetering as a Laker fan. You got a weather in the storm.
But anyway, yeah. So we got the fellas in the building. They some young and up and coming ball players, man. They do their thing on the basketball court and as well in the classroom. So I just wanted to give them a little acknowledgement, man. You know what I'm saying? Put them on the air. Put them on blast. Taekwon, I don't know if y'all gonna hang out. You staying on the line till 10 o'clock, or y'all got, you know, you gotta go, you gotta do something. You gotta go.
Huh?
Are you hanging out with us till 10 o'clock?
Because
I don't know if you gotta go to, you know, what the situation is.
No, I do my homework.
Okay, no doubt. I figured that. So, yo, Taekwon, real quick, anybody you want to shout out, man, we're going to let you go. Thank you for coming on the show. It's an honor, man, a privilege, man. I look forward to speaking to you again in the future. But you want to do any shout outs, man, before you get out of here?
I want to shout out to my family. If it wasn't for my family, I would never be on this radio show.
Okay, we appreciate you, man. Shout out to your family, man. And you got a good one right there. Shout out to you. Emmanuel, I don't know what the situation is. You got homework to do or whatever. If you got any shout outs, man, we're going to let you have the floor right now if you want to shout anybody out.
All right. I like to shout out, you know, my mother, my family, you know. They've been supporting me since day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to shout out Coach Brian because, you know, he gave me an opportunity that some people didn't have the time to give. So, and that's making me successful to this day. So,
okay.
Yeah, shout out.
Salute that, man.
Thank you, man.
Salute that. That's what it is, man. And good luck to you, man. And look forward to speaking to you again, man. Jalen, man, any shout-outs you got to give before we let you go, man?
I'd like to shout out my school, Nazareth, because, like, even though you start to fall off in your work, they always help you to get back on track.
Okay. That's a good thing. And you want to shout your brother out, man, at Compton State doing the same thing?
Yeah.
That's what it is, man. Appreciate y'all for coming through, man. Keep rocking. Keep doing y'all thing, man. And keep making it happen, man. Keep making us proud, man. We watching you. Real talk.
All right.
That was Taekwon Pearson, Emmanuel Jones, Jalen Gray, Brooklyn Jayhawks in the building, man. We represent, man. And we're glad to have y'all on the show. All right. So after further review, man, is in your ear, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Just wanted to get in on the conversation. Kia's in the building with me. I got Barry in the building with me. Mr. Hollywood's in the house. Kia, what's good? What's on your mind?
Nothing. What's good with you? No.
You know, same thing. You know, same stuff. Everything's everything.
Everything's
you know,
everything.
I just wanted to get everybody's pulse on the Michael Sam situation. You know what I mean? Because I guess that's like the hot topic of the day. I guess we were going to touch on that for a hot minute. You know what I'm saying? You got any opinion on that? You know, anything to say about it?
I don't think it's a hot topic. I mean, you know,
you don't think it's a hot topic?
You know,
it's on every channel under the sun. Think it's a hot topic?
No, it's not even, you know.
Okay, all right.
He's here to play football.
How did I know you were going to say something like that? Okay, go ahead.
He's here to play football. He's going to play football. I don't think he has a problem with it. You know, it's going to be up to those guys. He's here to win. And, like, I agree with Mike McCarthy said, it's not about that. It's about trying to win games.
But if it's not about that, this is okay. I agree with all of that. But if it's not about winning, if it's not about that, why did you even mention it?
Well, you know,
okay,
why? Because everybody's gonna. That's the same thing. How do you not know? They were talking about at the combines. I guess because people were knowing, or it was like a lot of whisper.
Who cares?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't care. What does that, you know what I'm saying? And here's a question for me that I spoke when we first came on the air. I'm like,
they don't describe Jadeveon Clowney as a draft prospect. They draft it. They describing this guy as a draft prospect. Where did that come? When do you do that? He's an All-American. He had 11.5 sacks last year. He was first-team All-American. So he might not be a first-round pick or whatever. But who? I never heard of nobody described as a draft prospect. Just because he made this announcement, you're going to start skewering your vision and your view of this cat. And I don't think that's fair.
You know what? That's on teams. That he's going to be just like on teams who passed him by. Just like, you know, you're not saying put him in the same category as J.J. Watt. You pass him by, he plays for another team, he'd be good. You know, teams that pass J.J. Watt got to be, you know, they probably eating it up right now because of the fact they all passed J.J. Watt before the Texans picked him up. So
what baggage did J.J. Watt have?
No, I'm saying as far as passing him up because of his status. Like, you know, you would have, like, get blindsided because, oh, he may not come a first round.
Yeah, I understand that, but, I mean, to compare it, I would say, what about Manti Te'o?
I'm comparing him as players. I'm not comparing him as his preference. I'm comparing him as players. I don't care about his preference.
You can't compare him as players because Michael Sam hasn't played in the NFL.
You can compare that when he was in combine. When you saw J.J. Watt in combine, you would have thought he was going higher than what he did. But no, teams didn't gamble that way. They passed him by. So if you have a great combine,
I don't know. You're losing me. I don't understand. I'm not getting the connection you're making between.
You know what? You have a great combine. So why would he drop to the second round? Why would he drop to the second round if he have a great combine?
Why would he drop to the second round if he had a great combine?
If he's
going to have a great combine. First of all,
I didn't say he was. I said if he has.
You know what I'm saying? I don't deal with ifs.
Well, you know what?
When
I said if. And if you're asking me a question, then I'm dealing with the if. Because if you're asking me a question about my opinion, then I'm saying if.
I can't. Are you talking to yourself? Because I don't have no opinion about if. All I know is what I've seen. I've seen him. He's a good ball player. He makes plays.
Well, then that's your opinion, and my opinion could be different from yours. But it doesn't, you know, it's my opinion.
Yeah. But what I'm saying to you is you're comparing him to J.J. Watt. What baggage did J.J. Watt have? Huh?
I said, I'm just using J.J. Watt as an example. I'm not comparing them.
But I don't understand how you could use how you using J.J. Watt in this example right here.
Never mind.
Yeah, I'm not feeling where you're going. We talking about
never
a player who all of a sudden brought baggage to the table. Now, how is that going to affect his draft status? We don't know. We know he's a first-team All-American. We know that.
I don't care about his draft status. I don't care. If he gets drafted, he gets drafted. So,
So, Barry.
Yo, what's up, brother?
You on the line, man.
Yeah.
Lord. I don't know if I'm not saying it right or something. My thing is, with Michael Sam's situation, bringing baggage to the table, okay, that affects his draft status. Teams are going to say now that everybody's going to say the politically correct thing. Oh, we're going to draft them. I was reading in the paper today, the Giants, we would draft them. We would take them. Everybody wants to take them. When April 27th roll around and he's still sitting in the green room because you know he's going to be there. His seat is already reserved. Okay?
He's going to drop down, without a doubt.
He's going to drop down. What city is going to take that responsibility now?
It's not going
to be about him being a football player. I get what you're saying, kid. He's going to do his numbers. And he might get drafted, and he might not, regardless of what he do. Because it's not about him being a football player now. It's about him being a gay football player now.
And who wants to deal with that circus? Is going to be
Yeah, that's all I'm saying to you, kid. That's all I'm saying. Regardless of whatever kind of combine he has.
These other players that have these other baggage, what circus would they have because he's gay? That doesn't even make sense.
That's a different kind of baggage.
Well, whatever.
You know what I'm saying?
You can have
murder cases. You can have robbery charges. You can have drug charges. And then, no, this is different.
That's everyday life.
This is different.
It's the first time thing.
Yeah, and look at how they're even describing Michael Sam. They're describing Michael Sam as a draft prospect. Why? I never heard them describe Jadeveon Clowney as a draft prospect. You know what I'm saying? They're going to the draft.
Well, my question for you is this. Do you think he should have just kept that to a
I think he should have waited, personally.
He should have waited.
Not, you know, my opinion matters a damn in that situation. I think he should have personally waited. I mean, because he waited this long, he told his teammates, they never said nothing throughout the whole season. So what was another year going to wait? What was another year going to make a difference?
Well, here's why I think he told. Because you don't know now, because let's say leading up to draft night, right? You don't want these teams coming out 2 nights before the draft. Some player from that school decides finally not to get jealous because they see somebody get ready to make millions of dollars. Because, you know, jealousy runs rapid in the world, not just sports.
I got you on that, but at the end of the day, like we was just saying, who cares? Is that supposed to be some? You got some kind of like I don't get it. Like all these people, nobody's perfect, yo. Everybody comes to them with some kind of asterisk by their name. Either you good at one thing and you're not so good at another, which is okay. But now we're not even talking about his on the field prowess, where he had 3 sacks in 3 straight games and did his numbers and ran a touchdown back against Oklahoma State and all of that. We're talking about now his sexual orientation. Who cares about that, yo?
Well, you have to care. You can't say who cares. I mean, because you have 30 teams in the NFL that's going to care. You have players in the NFL that's going to care. I mean, it's like the military.
I get all of that. But let me ask you this: What if your quarterback was the most flaming dude that you knew or everybody knew, but he threw for 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, okay, every season for like 8 years in a row, and you got 4 Super Bowls? Would it matter then?
Well, it doesn't matter now. No.
I'm just being facetious. You know what I mean?
It depends on who it is. I'll be honest with you.
Look at the situation with Manti Te'o. Look at the situation with Manti Te'o, right? With the fake. This is fake. He had the world's attention over some BS, some imaginary stuff. The jokes that they was talking about him and the rumors that was being spread about him and his combine wasn't so good. Okay? His combine wasn't good at all. Let's keep it 100. Okay? So he got drafted by San Diego. Okay? The perfect situation for him. Wasn't in no real big media outlet. Was in a situation where they more like, you know, understanding of that situation. And he's away from everybody. He had a nice little season for the Chargers. A nice little season. But this situation right here, whoo, come on, yo.
Well, you have to, first of all, let me say this to you. I'm going to give – I don't take my hat off to the guy. That's first of all, I'm going to take my hat off to the guy. Regardless
– somebody got the echo going on, man. That ain't a good look.
I don't know who. But regardless of his – whatever he wants to do, that's his business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I respect him. Mm-hmm. I respect him for coming out. And I'm going to tell you because, you know, there's no telling how many gay athletes are there in professional sports.
That's
right.
That is
holding back.
That's right.
Because they're afraid – And you know what's the sad part? If somebody outside comes out the closet and announces that they're gay, it's no big thing with them. But since you're in the public spotlight, the media makes it more than what it is. Okay, gay, fine, next day, next topic.
Yep.
It should have been a small little article in the newspaper without it being on bottom line of ESPN and all these other phony talk shows and sports shows that's out here. You know, it should have been one and done for me. I mean, like, they put too much on it.
I hear you. And to me, and to get back to what we were talking about, like with, you know, getting away from what happens on the field. It's more about off the field stuff. And, you know, we, on one hand, we don't really care about his off the field preference. But then again, we kind of have to because that situation, it goes down, you know, with 52 other players on the football team. You know what I'm saying? So they got to have some kind of concern about it. But I don't know, man. You know, everybody, like Kia said, everybody got their own opinion about it. You know what I'm saying? And until you have to deal with that situation and you in that circumstance, you know, you ain't really no gonna know how you're going to react to it. You know, you can say a thousand things, because you're a thousand times removed from it. You see it on TV, but you ain't in that situation.
He have 11 sex. I could care less what his purpose is. He can 11 sex with the children. I'm good.
Well, if he gets 11 sacks, you know what the type, you know what they're gonna say then, right? They're gonna say, "Gay football player with 11 sacks." Okay,
well,
fine.
Yeah, then you gonna have all the, you know what I mean, all of them trying out for some football team.
What's really interesting is what Key was talking about it, how his draft has gone down, which to me is kind of foolish, because you're looking at one of the better defenders in college football. So I don't. Well, he is. I mean, the stats say it. I mean, Mr. Mayor, the stats say it.
They'll be crazy to let him slip that far because they buy it.
If he gets drafted.
That's ridiculous.
Yo,
one more point on that. You know, here's the scary thing. It's not so much the other players on the team. You know what's the scary part about it? The general manager that's going to draft him. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Jason Collins, when he came out, he's not in the NBA anymore. I mean, I don't know how many owners. I don't know what owner.
Jason Collins is a bum.
Well, he is. I mean, granted, he is a bum.
That's why he ain't get back.
What happens now if he does not get drafted? What happens now if he does not get drafted?
If you had to ask me right now, I drafting him or not, he might end up as an undrafted free agent. He might end up as an undrafted free agent. But I think that if he does get drafted, it's not going to be about the team. He better not get drafted to one of them teams that's going to be on Hard Knocks. I'll tell you that much. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. They better not get drafted to a team that's going to be on Hard Knocks. It's going to be over for them.
No.
It's going to be over.
Yeah, but once he gets drafted, that's it. That opens the door for all of this to happen from here on out. And that's
crazy.
No, but that's what a lot of owners and general managers are worried about now, because, at the end of the day, Branch Rickey is the one who allowed the first African-American player to play in Major League Baseball, and that's going to stick with them for the rest of their lives. So whoever decides to draft or sign this football player, they're going to be the one that opens the door. That is something that's going to be attached to them for the rest of their life. And that's what I think a lot of people are worried about as far as the ownership is concerned.
No doubt. Just after further review, man, 646-200-3838 is the math. Listen, we about to change gears right quick, man. Another situation that kind of bubbled and percolated over was the situation with the kid Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State with the altercation with that fan. My opinion about it, I said it earlier when we first came on, was I think that, I wasn't there, I don't know, but from the way he was flipping out, he said something more than calling him a piece of crap. That's just my opinion. I wouldn't have flipped out like that if he just called me a piece of crap. I'd have kept it moving. You know what I'm saying? But that's just me. I just don't think that he would have flipped out the way he did if he just said, "Oh, you just a piece of crap." Nah. That's just me. I don't know.
Izzo made a statement, because you could tell that fan say stuff, because he turned around. Izzo had heard a lot of stuff. He had always turned around and suggested to the fan, "Why don't you come down here and help me coach, since you know how to coach?" So he knows that these fans say stuff.
Yeah, because, he had his back to him, and then he just said, he said something that you saw it when whatever he said to him, Marcus Smart saw red, and he turned around and he put hands on him, you know what I mean? He kept pointing at him, come on, yo. He had to say something that really just kind of, this was a line, something, fighting words. I put it to you like
that. He said something that made him really mad.
You know what I'm saying? But I think three games was too much.
I think he should have got suspended.
Sorry?
I don't think he should have got suspended.
Nah, I think three games was too much, too harsh of a message. I don't think he should have got suspended either, but they had to give some kind of message.
You know what I mean? They had to say, and I understand that and respect
that.
A
lot of these people know what these fans be saying.
They
ain't no
message. Yeah, Kia, yes. And my thing is, if he had to, you know, if the players have to, you know, have some kind of a code of conduct and they can't respond or react to how fans, you know, talk to them or call them out their name, something should happen to the fans. Just because they paid a ticket, that don't give them no right to, you know, talk about people's families and whatever else they got going on. It don't give them no right to do that. Because somebody going to jump in the stands and beat the hell out of somebody, then where we going? You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's got to be a balance. If you want the fans to feel like they're in a safe environment, and they can come to the game and enjoy themselves and have a good time, why can't the players be in that same safe environment? Why are the players the only one that you could call names, and the players can't say nothing? I don't understand the fairness in that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. I just think that 3 games was too much.
I don't.
You don't think so? Why?
No, because you have to carry. So like I tell my boys, there is. A reaction to everything you do, and I'm sorry to tell you this right now. You know, again, we're going back to these guys are on their way to becoming professionals. Most of them, you have to know how to carry yourself. And if you start it up now, it's only going to get worse as time goes on. And that's how I feel about that situation.
Okay, all right.
You know how many people are out there right now trying to get a 4-year free ride to college and do something that they love to play a game. The least you could do is respect yourself, respect the school, respect your teammates and everyone around you, no matter what is said to you. You're right. You have a right to defend yourself, but you also have to know certain things you just cannot do, especially when the public is looking at you.
Yeah, ask for to Sherman. Yeah.
And to his own with that argument, I don't think he should have got suspended.
If you want to suspend him, give him a game. Just to give him something to think about or whatever. I think three games is way too much.
This is going to stop folks from doing it, though. I could tell you that right now. You won't have this incident again. Well, it'll be a long time before it happens.
This won't stop folks from doing it, because if somebody says something out their mouth, because this food store, whoever this fan is, now he's the subject where everybody's looking at him when he go back to work and go back in society, and they're going to look at him and say, why would you say something to this kid? So that's the face that he's going to have to deal with now, the fact that he said something. People are going to probably approach him, people that know him personally and see him work in the work or out in public, knowing that he said something that he should never have said.
Let me ask you this, though, Kia. Now, on the other side of that, what you just said, I totally agree with you on that. Now, on the other side of that, do you think that it would be some people out there, you know how we have, you know, that segment of the audience is off the hook, you know what I mean, they unbalanced, that they would feel emboldened now, that they say, okay, I paid my ticket, he could do it, you know what I mean, because you already got people say, oh, you a bum and you stink or whatever, because I know I do it. When I'm at the Yankee games, and I see Big Poppy, I say, you garbage, you suck, or whatever, you know what I mean? We used to kill Ken Griffey out there in the outfield, but we would never do nothing serious as, like, trying to, you know, really talk. I don't know his mother, so I'm not going to talk about his mother. I talk about him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you're closer to the action.
Or whatever. He said something more than what he said to Marcus.
Right, it had to be. It had to be, yo. It had to be something
bum
more than that.
Or no, what's the name? Because everybody can call somebody a bum or this or that, but he said something more than what
Marcus
heard.
On that note, since everyone is defending that, then Ron Artest should have never been suspended from what he did that time down in Detroit, if you really want to go that far.
Ron Artest was up in the crowd, man.
If you're using the point that something must have been said, if you're using the point that something must have been said to this kid to make him go into those
look how he flipped out, though, yo. He was highly upset. And you don't say, I mean, come on, Hollywood, man. You don't say nothing like that to somebody who just said you're a piece of crap. You hear that from cab drivers. You hear that from the ice cream man. You hear that every day. He had to say something else, man.
I feel that way about
how he reacted. That's all.
Ron Artest. What made Ron Artest go on the stands like that?
Ron Artest is crazy. Ron Artest from Queensbridge. He's a nut.
He's a nut.
He's a nut.
What happened to the, didn't the fan get in trouble too? Isn't he suspended from coming to some games?
He said he's going to volunteer not to come to any more games.
Oh, he's volunteering. He didn't get that. That's it. He's volunteering.
Yeah, he's volunteering. No, I think
he was approached. There's no way he was not even like told by his own peers. You should have never had said anything to Marcus Smart. What you said to Marcus Smart, you said more than what you said to Marcus Smart because he wouldn't react.
He has a history of that anyway. That's what he does. He has a history of that because you have other players that complained about him before, prior.
This
you know
is what
saying?
I'm saying.
So,
there's more to what the story is.
Yeah, he has a history of that.
That's pretty bad then.
Yeah, so, you know.
If that's the case, then that's bad.
Yeah,
if that's the case, then that's bad.
But that speaks a lot to, you know, as a fan, you know what I mean? Because even, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, when Charlamagne's pops got into an incident at MetLife at the Jets game, when the Cowboys was playing somebody and they got into an argument and he tased them, hit them with the taser or some stuff. I mean, it's the fans get crazy with it, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But to have the interaction with a player is different. That's different.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Simple. The man didn't come out. He didn't. He didn't.
And you know what I tested to him? Because he goes to, okay, Texas is a racist state. And most people who ever dealt with racism and been in state, I was school in Virginia, one of the racist states. You go in the store, they follow you around. This is stuff that you tolerate and you learn to tolerate.
Right.
But there's no way you're going to allow somebody to say something to you and you not respond. I'm sorry.
So what's wrong with a simple F you back? What's wrong with a simple F you back?
No, no. It's the reaction to what he said that was more than what he heard. And it had to be. It was a reaction.
Well, that's why he's suspended now, because he reacted wrong. He reacted
well,
wrong.
But he shouldn't have got suspended. They were trying to cover their stuff, but he shouldn't have got suspended.
I mean, you know, that's why we have a panel here for discussions and debates. Cause
yeah,
I'm on the side that if you were going to suspend him,
give him a game. Let him think about it. Whatever. I just think three is too much. That's all. I just think three is too much.
I think he should have got more.
I guess it's because of what I do as a coach,
as a mentor.
But I see your side, though. I'm not saying that you're wrong. Don't get it twisted. I see your side where you're coming from. But I'm like,
Kia
is putting the atmosphere element into it. Like, look at where they at. You know what I mean? Look at how they do. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of big name coaches came to Marcus' defense when they said, and Izzo was because they hear it and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And like
mm-hmm.
I said, it does happen. So
Marcus, it does happen. You talk about big name coaches,
it happens. So for Marcus to react to what he said, he had to say something more.
So that's all I think. I think it was something more. The way he reacted, Hollywood and Kia, I just think it was something more, man.
That's obvious.
But see, at the end of the day, again, you know, one of the young men you just had on the radio right now, Taquan Pearson, we played in a game a couple of weeks ago, and he got fouled, and the kid on the other team told him he wasn't, you know, and then next thing I know it, they threw Taquan at me out the game and suspended Taquan, and they ain't do nothing to the kid who started it all. And we walked away because we were taught from the get-go, no matter what happens, if your life is not in jeopardy and no one's putting their hand on you, you walk away. People
right.
are going to say anything they want. Listen,
right.
they talked
right.
about Jesus.
Right.
Okay, who are we? And I don't mean to sound religious on the radio, but I'm just saying, as someone in the spotlight, you have to, okay, fine. Listen, you go to your athletic director, you go to your coach, say, listen, such, I know you're upset, I know you're angry, people react to things differently, but at the end of the day, there are people looking up to you, there are people who are watching you, people watching your every move. That, you know, you never know. That might have hurt his draft chances coming down the line. You never know.
Well, I mean, how bad could he have hurt him? Because he could have came out rash and he stayed.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I maybe he might end up staying another year. I don't know. But I don't know, man. That situation was just kind of rough, man. You kind of like say, what would you do in that situation?
Oh,
you would be a person and walk away.
I'm quite sure he got talked to about it through his coach and everything.
Right.
But it's something that Marcus wants. He should have not suspended the three games, and I don't think he should have not suspended the three games.
Somebody said, if it was me, you know what I would have did? If he calls him whatever he called him out of his name or whatever, I just would have stopped right there and just pointed at him and said, he just called me out my name and just kind of made a big thing. I would have put my hands on him. I just would have made a spectacle out of him. That's what he would have told me.
Did you hear what he said, right? Something like that, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I'd have been like, you better than me. Because it would have been a different situation, but different people reacted to things differently. We're gonna move along, man. After further review, man, is in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. We're gonna switch the vibes right now. I want to give a shout out to Larry Brown, coach down at SMU, man. He got them in the top 25. They ain't been heard of since the John Konkak days.
Wow.
Way back in the... I was going to say wow on that one. The John Konkak days. You know what I'm saying? Word up.
They had that Eric Wright, right, with John
yeah.
Konkak?
Yo, SMU was nice back then, man.
Yeah,
they wasn't,
John Konkak.
All of that, but they was represented. I forgot who their coach was, man. Now this is going to mess with me all day. My Syracuse Orange men still number one, undefeated in the building. I'm liking how we doing it. They cannot do nothing with that 2-3 zone. We making some noise right now. But again, I'm going to say it again, like I said the last couple of weeks. You know, it's going to get a lot tougher before it gets easier. We got Pittsburgh tomorrow night on the road. Then we got North Carolina State. Then we got Boston College. Then Saturday is the showdown at Duke. The crazies are going to be going crazy. I'm going to say it again. My Syracuse Orange, we're undefeated right now, but I wouldn't be mad if we lost the game. I would not be mad if we lost the game.
You better lose it before the tournament starts. That's all I can say.
That's where I'm going with. I would not be mad if we lost the game to get that off of us, and then we could start and get hungry again and, you know, end up where we need to be at, because my team is not sneaking up on nobody. Don't get it twisted. You know, we deserve to be where we are. We should have been number one, like my man Slate said the other day. I was chilling with my man Slate. Shout out to Slate. We should have been number one like a month ago. You know what I mean? But Arizona kept hanging on to their spot, you know what I mean, doing their numbers or whatever, and then they ended up getting beat. But my Syracuse Orange, man, we doing our thing, man. Shout out to CJ Fair. Shout out to Coach Beheim, you know what I mean? Shout out to Tyler Ennis, you know what I mean? One of the top freshmen in the country. You know, I just like where we at right now. But, again, I need a loss. And it sounds kind of crazy to say that. But, again, dealing with the circumstances we got to deal with, we'd rather lose now than lose later. So that's basically that right there. On the ladies' side, UConn, I haven't really given them any play this season yet. But, they undefeated. They're doing their thing, running through the American Association Conference like they supposed to. Gino Auriemma making it look not even fair. Breanna Stewart, my girl Mosquita Lewis in the building for UConn doing their numbers. You know, they doing their thing. They ain't really going to have a tough game until their last game against Louisville on the road. They'll probably end up winning that, too. So we're here, man. It's 8:58 after further review in the building. We had the youngsters on. We had to let them go because they had to do their homework and get to, you know, say their prayers and all that good stuff, man. Shout out and appreciation to Mr. Coach Hollywood and all that for bringing them through. We're here, man. I was going to get on my man about John Wall being his favorite player. Shout out to Jalen Gray. John Wall's having a nice season. I think John Wall is doing what he should have been doing a couple of years ago, but I guess he had, you know, going through it, got hurt, whatever.
Agreed.
And so now he's doing his thing, and he's putting up numbers, and he's making the Wizards respectable. They're holding down the fifth spot in the East. Maurice Cheeks got let go by the Detroit Pistons. They crying in their beer about that with Hakia.
They want, you said they signed what?
I said they crying in their beer over there in that other sports room group about Mo Cheeks getting fired from the Pistons.
Well, you already know.
Please.
Laugh. Don't make me laugh.
Yeah, it's what you clown.
What's wrong, Kia?
Crap.
Why would they fire Maurice Cheeks, man? They won three in a row. You know what I mean? They're holding down a spot, you know, a half game out of the playoffs or whatever. And, you know, if you're going to hire somebody, at least let them rock through the season. They hired him, you know what I mean? And they fired him 50 games into the season. They should have let him rock, man.
Joe Dumars to go now.
I don't know what's going on with Joe Dumars, but I don't think he's long for that job either. Hottest teams in the league right now, you got the Houston Rockets, won six in a row. Dallas won five in a row. Detroit and Orlando three in a row. You know, Slight Coward is doing his numbers. I'm still not giving him no respect. You know what I mean? But the Rockets are doing their little thing on the low. What's up with the Sixers, man? We could go out there and beat them by 40 points.
Nothing's up with the Sixers.
I remember when they were five and zero at one point, and everybody was going crazy.
Yeah, the first seven games of the season.
They was going crazy about the Sixers. Michael Carter Williams was tearing it up. They was 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. Now what? It was all good a couple months ago.
Turner wants out.
The fiasco with Andrew Bynum and all of that craziness.
I gotta give a special big up to Evan Turner, and I wish I could apologize to him to his face. I didn't see his game at all. I really did not.
Not when he was at Ohio State, either.
Huh?
Not when he was at Ohio State?
Oh, in college, yeah, but you know, a lot of college players.
Okay.
No, I didn't see his game at all. I really did not. I thought he was slow. I didn't think he was accurate. Evan Turner is a really, really, really good player.
Evan Turner is nice, yo.
Yeah, I guess
he just had to find it. I guess he had to find his game or whatever.
Evan Turner is nice. He's in a bad system, though. He's in a very bad system. Like, if you put him on Portland right now, forget it.
Sixers should have never traded that draft pick and did that draft when that whole draft pick just messed me up, you know, when they traded Holiday.
What was that about? Can somebody explain that to me?
They were trying to be through for Drew. They were trying to get Siggins for Wiggins.
Hey, look at them now. How you gonna trade?
They were trying to be doo-doo for Andrew.
There's no mess. No way. That was unbelievable.
I don't know, it was more like a safari for Jabari. I mean, with Drew Holiday and Evan Turner, and then you still would have had Michael Williams.
They messed up. That is something to build around right there.
And then they draft Nerlens Noel, and he can't play yet. His knees is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with my boy here? I forgot what school he goes to. I think he went to Syracuse. The draft pick who can't get on a plane or something like that. What are you talking about?
Royce White.
Oh, my goodness.
Royce White went to Ohio State. Don't be dissing Syracuse like that. Royce White went to Iowa State. Yeah, man. I don't know what his situation is, my dude.
I don't think he's going to play a game.
I think Daryl Morey, that's the general manager of the Houston Rockets, I think they gave up on him, yo. Like, yo, what's the deal?
And he could play, and he could ball, too.
I bet you if he had to fly to the bank, I bet you he'd do that. I bet you he'd be like, on the first thing smoking, LaGuardia, JFK, Newark, what? The first thing smoking, if he going to fly to get some money.
How are we a professional athlete and going to
it? I don't know, man.
I don't get that at all.
The only person I know to do that would not fly and made it work was your man, John Madden.
Yeah. Yeah, they put
John
him in
Madden,
sleep, right?
He never flew. He was everywhere.
On the bar. You know who don't like to fly either? Tony Kornheiser.
Tony Kornheiser don't fly either. But, yo, John Madden never flew nowhere. And he was at all the games on time.
on a year-long road trip, huh?
Yes, man. I don't know, man. You know, he's going through something. You know, you really can't judge nobody, man, you know, in all seriousness. You can't really, you know, judge what's going on in his life and what he's dealing with and stuff like that. But come on, man.
Yeah, but you know what my next question is, right? You know what my next question is. Did they not know this before they drafted him, though, seriously? Like, did they think something was going
to
change?
I think what the situation was that they was going to have people to work with him. I think they did know. They were aware of it. They had to be aware of it. You know what I mean? But they had people that they were supposed to work with him and, you know, try to, you know, deal him up. Because he's dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff. You know what I mean? It's just that the fear of flying is just a whole bunch of other stuff that goes into that. So I guess he had to, you know, get counseling or, you know what I mean, talk to some people or whatever. And I don't know, man. That to me, that's a crazy situation right there. No pun intended.
If I was him, I'll tell them to do like they do with me when they got to put me in the MRI machine. Put me to sleep.
Put me to sleep.
What's wrong with that? You got all that money. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. So I don't understand it. I don't understand it. What's going on with your boy Kevin Durant? Is he the new man or what? Is he the new dude?
Yes.
Kevin Durant?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I remember them saying that about him, man, when he decided he was going to leave Texas, man. They said he's going to do his numbers in the NBA. Once his game comes together and it's where it's supposed to be, he's going to be the man. And I guess it's starting to, you know, blossom, and those words are starting to come to fruition for him now, man, because he's tearing it up right now.
And he's doing it without Russell Westbrook, who I do not like.
Yeah.
I don't like him either. Did you hear the bogus trade proposal the other day? I don't know who was doing what drugs, but
every trade proposal I'll be hearing is bogus.
It's supposed to be Russell Westbrook and Kendrick Perkins, or whoever that is, and somebody else probably going to the Knicks for Chandler and Raymond Felton. Okay, now who's doing this deal when?
You hear so much stuff, man. I don't really pay no attention to that stuff right there, man.
Yeah, but I'm hearing Oklahoma is not too high on Westbrook, and they don't think he's really going to recover.
Why do you think they're saying that right now?
Because of Derrick Rose.
Because they're winning without Westbrook. If they're winning without, they're like, okay, we don't need this dude. Okay, what? For real, you don't need this dude?
I don't think they need him. I'll be honest with you.
I don't think they need him either, but I don't think they want to give. Okay, that would mean they got rid of Harden and Westbrook. So now for what? You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man.
You could get a lot for Westbrook right now, though.
You could get a lot for Westbrook, but what are you going to get for Westbrook? And then whatever you get for Westbrook, you have to plug them in right now. So what point guard, because you're trading your point guard, so what point guard you going to plug in for Russell Westbrook?
But I got to ask you a question. Do you really honestly believe that Oklahoma City will win a championship with Russell Westbrook there?
They went to the finals with him.
That's all they got.
Why they can't win the finals?
Because you have a. I'm gonna tell you the reason why exactly. Because Westbrook during the regular season is a point guard. During the playoffs, he's a shooting guard. He's a shooter. He becomes a shooter, and that's why. That's exactly. I've watched him year in and year out, and I see the same thing over and over again. When pressure's on the line, you know, you asked one of the boys earlier, what would they do on a pressure situation? They gave you a great answer. But if the pressure's on the line right now, Westbrook's taking up that shot. He's not thinking about being a point guard anymore. And
he goes nuts. He goes, hey, too many bad shots.
Too many, exactly. Too many bad shots. A lot of turnovers during crucial times of the game. And that's why I say, you know what? If you can get right now, if you could get a star player and a draft pick for Westbrook right now, why not do it? Why not?
He's like J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, they just take stupid shots at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and J.R. Smith is a very streaky player, like Westbrook. Westbrook is a very streaky player.
Why don't they trade Westbrook for J.R. Smith?
Oh, that's beautiful.
I like that deal. Give
that'd
me that. Get J.R. Smith out of here.
Well, you know what?
That won't happen.
I think J.R. Smith, now that he's smoking the synthetic marijuana before a game, now I think he's fine. I wouldn't even trade J.R. Smith right now.
I don't need J.R. Smith, man. I'm tired of J.R. Smith.
If you redefine his role, you would love J.R. Smith.
I'll redefine his role as a sixth man on another team. Redefine his role. And to me, it's like he's done too much stuff to kind of like, okay, now all of a sudden the day has changed, so now my opinion about him is like, nah. Nah, I think that, you know, you need a new situation. You need to go somewhere else to become a headache for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Because this season is going down the toilet real fast for the Knicks. You know what I mean? And I hate to see it. I'm going to keep saying that, man. I'm going to be hard on them because they deserve it. You know what I mean? Because you shouldn't be like this. You can't get out of your own way. That's the problem. You cannot get out of your own way. That's what's wrong with the Knicks.
Well,
they worry so much about trying to be the talk of New York You know what I mean? Win some games. Worry about Carmelo, and he got to score 62,000 points, and J.R. Smith, and Raymond Felton, and Tyson Chandler. Come on, yo. And then Mike Woodson worried about his job. Just coach, because James Dolan don't care about none of y'all.
Basically.
Let's keep it 100. James Dolan don't care about none of y'all. So y'all do what y'all got to do.
If you need to get rid of Carmelo Anthony
to get your team better, because if you don't get nothing back for Carmelo, that's going to tell you all you need to know about the Knicks.
Wow.
If you don't get nothing back for him, that's going to tell you all you need to know. So the trade deadline is February 20th. What you going to do?
Are they trading Carmelo Anthony?
If I could get something nice for him, some draft picks, I would.
They're not going to trade Melo. They're definitely going to do this. It's not going to be Melo.
They can't trade Melo.
They're not going to trade Melo.
They can't trade him. You got to understand something about Dolan. Like you said, Dolan don't care. But one thing Dolan do care about, Dolan don't like things to come back and hit him in the face. And for them to trade Carmelo Anthony,
they traded Patrick Ewing. Son.
That blew up in his face quick, didn't it?
Oh man!
Really?
The Knicks, you're not going to trade him. That's what you said. You're not going to trade Carmelo, which is okay. I got your opinion. So do you let him just walk away in free agency and not get nothing back and really have to start all over?
I don't think he walks away.
I don't think he walks away either, but to answer the man's question, yes, I do let him walk away. Because let me explain something to you right now. If the Knicks would have just let Patrick Ewing walk away, then the Knicks franchise today would have been a lot better. Trust me when I tell you, they're still suffering
The Knicks been messed up from the front office, man. Grunfeld and Steve Mills and all of them, and they didn't know what the hell they was doing. Excuse my French, Ms. Lavina. They didn't know what the hell they was doing. You know what I mean? And they're running the Knicks franchise into the toilet. So I'm thinking, if you don't trade Carmelo Anthony, I'm going with y'all logic. If you don't trade Carmelo Anthony and you let him walk away in free agency, And Kia, what you say? You don't think he's gonna go, right? That's what you said.
I think it's gonna be a major trade, and it should be a major trade. Those three guys mentioned should be shipped up out of there. They bring somebody positive to coexist with Melo. Knicks would be fine, but I don't think Melo will walk.
I don't think he's gonna walk either. I don't think he's gonna walk.
Why didn't he just sign his contract then? Why didn't he sign the extension?
He's going to sign it or let him sign it. He's not worried about all this pressure about sign it. Let him sign it. He'll sign it.
I think he's enjoying the attention, to be honest with you.
That's all it is.
He's been getting attention since he was at Syracuse.
If he was going to walk away, he would force the Knicks' hand like he did with Denver. I'm telling you, Carmelo Anthony is going to be one of them people who are going to say themselves.
Carmelo Anthony was a cancer on Denver. That's why George Carlin got him the hell out of there. Excuse my French, Miss Lavina. Got him out of there. Carmelo Anthony was a cancer on Denver.
If you remember,
like about a month or two before the trade went down, didn't Carmelo Anthony get into a fight with the Knicks at Madison Square Garden when he was playing with the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Didn't Carmelo Anthony and them get in a fight with the Knicks?
Yeah.
So I'm saying Carmelo Anthony was a cancer on the Denver Nuggets, yo.
He wanted so bad
to come to New York. I'm from Red Hook, Brooklyn, blase, blah, and all this garbage. You know what I'm saying? Now you're on the Knicks. Okay, the first thing about Carmelo when he came to the Knicks was that all he was doing was gunning. He wasn't giving the ball up to nobody. Carmelo was shooting. We made the playoffs. We played against the Boston Celtics. Carmelo Anthony had a brain freeze in game one, which we should have won. Okay, we lost that series. Okay, now Carmelo Anthony, he needs help all of a sudden. We won 54 games last year. We finally won a little playoff series. Finally. Okay, now it comes to his walk year, you follow me? His walk year, now he needs some help. Now he ain't got nobody to play with him.
Considering
the injuries, it was the injuries now. Tyson Chandler got hurt.
Felton got hurt.
Everybody's hurt. But Carmelo got no. But you know what though? He ain't talking about extending. He's talking about, well, I want to see what it's going to do, what the future's going to hold, and blah, blah, blah. If you want to be with the Knicks, go sign your extension. Until then, we ain't got nothing to talk about. You scored 62 points and everybody was on you, was, oh, Carmelo, this. You can't miss me with that. He should have ran right upstairs right then and signed his extension right then. I'm down with the Knicks forever, and that's it, period, end of story.
So you're gonna be happy. So the only way you're gonna be happy right now is Carmelo signed an extension.
If Carmelo signed with the Knicks, then I know he wants to stay and he wants to see this thing through.
If that's the case, if he don't sign now and he signed at the end of the season, so whatever. I don't think he's gonna walk. I think he's gonna.
If he signs at the end of the season, which would be fine too. Which would be fine, too. But my thing is, the closer you get to the end of the season, kid, the end of the season is a lot closer for the Knicks than it is for the Spurs or the Heat or the Thunder. So our end of the season is coming real soon.
Well, you know what? The timetable is on February 20th. Because you don't have a major trade done by the Knicks. It's going to take a major
trade. And that's the question. Do you get something back for Carmelo, or do you wait and hope against hope that he signs with you? That's what you're doing.
It's
you got your fingers crossed now. Now you got your fingers crossed.
Yeah, but you know you're saying that Carmelo Anthony was a poison with Denver. You're saying Carmelo Anthony was a poison with Denver. Carmelo Anthony to me is a poison with the Knicks. Now it goes to another point now.
It don't stop.
It goes to another point.
Stop.
Which general manager would be willing to trade people for Carmelo Anthony right now? That's the question, because you got to understand something. Carmelo Anthony is not going to go to another team and become anybody's second or third option. He's not going to do that. So I don't know.
All I'm saying is if the Knicks, if I'm the Knicks and he's not giving me no signs, no indication about him wanting to stay, you know what I'm saying? Well, then we got to work out something where we can get some value back for him. And even if we don't get nobody back that can help us right now, and we get get loaded with some draft picks, I'm good with that.
Oh, definitely.
I'm good with that. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, where are we going to send this dude? Where he want to go?
I really think he wants to stay in New York.
Well,
I really think he
wants to
stay in New York.
Then why not sign the deal? What you waiting for?
February 20th,
huh?
Going to pick whether he's going to stay in New York on February 20th.
I mean, February 20th is really, it is what it is, but I just think that, you know, my own point being is if he's going to stay, and if he wants to stay, he would like to get, you know, put that in the back burner, put that in the back of everybody's mind, and let's focus on the future or whatever. But the Knicks got a lot of money tied up in a lot of other people, so they can't really move their hands like they want to move either. So I understand the business situation of it, but still in all, man, you know, you can't go from 54 wins one year to 35 wins the next year. And like I said earlier in the season, I don't think the Knicks are going to win 30 games. that's how garbage I think they are, yo. You mean to tell me you're going to let the Charlotte Bobcats / Hornets hold down the eighth spot in the East? and Toronto Raptors are third.
Yeah.
And I ain't even going to get on Kia about that. I'm not going to say nothing. I tried to tell y'all about the Toronto Raptors, but I just thought that they had a nice little squad. I liked DeMar DeRozan's game. You know what I mean? I liked what they was doing, and that was my little dark horse pick, the Toronto Raptors or whatever. But back on my Knicks, man, what is the Knicks? Kia, answer me this question. What are the Knicks doing being 12-17 at home? Why are the Knicks 12-17 at home? Huh?
I don't think it's all on Melo. And you know I say this because I'm not a Knicks fan, but I like Melo.
Right, I really shouldn't even be talking to you about this.
You're not a
Knicks
fan, but I like Melo. I don't think it's all on Melo. I just don't think it's all on Melo. No, he does not make the Knicks player great or better or whatever. But this is not all on Melo. And I go back to games when the Knicks are supposed to win games and then Melo doing what he's supposed to do. And then the other guys are not showing up. I say trade all those guys. You know what I told you? And then this is what you get for Melo. He'll sign that extension.
You got to show me, man.
Do you know why the Knicks are 12-17 at home?
Yeah, why are the Knicks 12-17 at home?
Because they did the garden renovation and they couldn't find the place on the court to locate where the ball goes in at. The court is different for them, so they cannot really – they're not used to it.
That's
you got to give them next year.
too much glare from the Macy sun, Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they put the little bridge up there. I mean, I'm just trying to find an excuse for them because I found it to be mind-boggling that this team here, I mean, you traded Steve Novak. I mean, the Knicks didn't make any big trades during the offseason. To me, they brought in a better player than Novak Bargnani, if that's the only trade you really made. I don't understand. Mr. Dunk
when I'm 6 feet away from the basket and tear up my elbow. These are funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
Mr. Airball.
But I got to tell you, it is what it is. Mr. May, I got to tell you this, though. If the Knicks, and listen to me real carefully, I know everybody likes to make bold predictions on this show. If the Knicks make the playoffs, this could be another situation like 1999. You heard it here first. If the Knicks find a way to make
I'm going to find some of them cards that they was giving me when I said that the Colts and the Cowboys are going to be in the Super Bowl. They gave me some cards and some psychiatrists and some doctors and stuff. I'm going to see if I can find them and give them to you, man. If the Knicks make the, not to even doubt you on that, because the Knicks are only two games out of the eighth spot. Who knows? What could happen? But I remember 99, man. That's where the Knicks had Sprewell. You know what I mean? That's one of my favorite all-time Knicks right there, Latrell Sprewell, man.
That's
when the Knicks was when we played the Spurs in the final. But Patrick Ewing was hurt. If we would have had Patrick Ewing,
yep, would have beat the Spurs.
Man, we played San Antonio in the finals. They had David Robinson, Tim Duncan, and all that. It was killing us in the finals. We tried with Spree, man.
He used to be like a predator, boy. He used to go to the basket strong.
That was my dude, Spreewell, yo.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it is what it is. But we're going to talk about some other things right now, man. You're listening to After Further Review, man, on a Tuesday night, man, February 11th, 2014. Go ahead, Kia.
Did you hear I was reading today about Shoe has hired Jay-Z on his advisory committee?
What
in the world is that?
Why is he still in the league?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's advisory for his contract extension year coming. I'm like, whatever.
Trying to get it all. But I want to talk about my Yankees, yo.
Ah, konnichiwa.
Yes.
I told you a couple weeks ago, Kia.
Tanaka-san in the building, number 19 for the Yankees. Tanaka-san.
Did you see his presser?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know I did.
Okay.
He said he's very, very happy to be New York Yankees. That's right. I'm happy to be New York Yankees too, my dude. Yes, sir.
He's gonna be a great pitcher.
Did you see the post? They got him. He flew in on a 787 plane with him, his girl, his dog, and a couple of his people on a big plane.
195,000.
Yes. Hey man, they was talking about it, and that was like George Steinbrenner would have loved it. I know George Steinbrenner would have loved it, yo. That's the type of. Know what I mean? George Steinbrenner's chilling right now because he's like, this is how the Yankees supposed to be moving right now.
That's when we're gonna come back this year.
We go out there and snatch him up, huh?
We going back to the old way. That's when we're gonna do it this year.
Yeah, we go out there and snatch him up, yo. If we need something, we gonna go get it. That's what I'm talking about.
But this clown owner from the Red Sox. I mean, give me a break, man.
You can't really diss the Red Sox, yo. They got how many World Series, man? They got more World Series than us in the last 10 years.
Yep.
So we got to catch up to them. But, yo.
Please.
I'm looking at it what it is. We know we better than the Red Sox. They never going to catch us.
Recently,
who's been better?
They won three World Series in a decade, man.
You can't front on that. That's all
I can't front on that.
You can't front on that.
They're not better than the Yankees.
They was better than us last year. They was better than us last year, but they're not going to be better than us this year. They can hang that up. They're not going to be better than us. Bronson Arroyo went to Arizona, the Diamondbacks.
God.
So we missed out on him. I think that, again, the key. Oh, and Kia. Yeah, you know, I had something. I got all bone to pick with you, yo. I'm glad we got some time left in the show. Let's get it popping. What is the deal with A-Rod? What did I tell you about A-Rod?
Yeah,
what did I tell you that was going to happen with A-Rod?
He dropped that lawsuit.
Yeah, he dropped it like let me see. He dropped it like a bad habit. Nah, he dropped it like
a hot.
He dropped it like it was hot. I mean, you know, come on, yo. Really? I'm like, come on, son. I mean, what can you say? We went through this rigmarole back in 2009, and we're going to see what the court going to say and this and that. He ended up because he knew he was fighting a losing battle. Now you know who's laughing all the way to the bank now, Barry and Hollywood and Kia? The lawyers. The lawyers.
They made about 20 million.
Like, okay, I'm sorry. We couldn't get it done. I hope my check clears.
Oh, well.
You know what I mean? Oh, well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There goes the gravy train. The gravy train just left the station.
I am so happy about all of this now.
Now we can move and handle our business now.
I hope he never comes back to play a game again. I hope he never plays another game in Major League Baseball. He's a joke to the sport.
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially how he tried to carry it. Like, nobody was paying attention to what he's doing, man. And I guess that, you know, at the end of the day, man, the Yankees, you know, everybody bumps their head or whatever. But this whole A-Rod situation, man, he brought that on himself.
Yep.
He brought that totally on himself and all that, and that's just what it is. But, I'm looking forward to baseball season. Yankees report in 3 days to training camp, spring training. It's going down. I'm looking forward to the season. I think that my Yankees are going to do some good things. I'm kind of depending on CC Sabathia to come back and have a better season.
Did you see all that weight he lost?
Yeah.
Oh,
he looks wonderful. He's looking real thin Lizzy right now.
Oh, he looks great. He's looking real thin Lizzy,
but I hope that translates to 18 or 20 wins. You know what I'm saying? I need that from CC Sabathia. He needs to pitch like a number one, because I had a conversation with a friend of mine. Like, he was like, he would let Tanaka start, be the number one starter. I said, I don't know about
that. I wouldn't give him that.
Just out of respect, you know what I mean? You can't just let him just come out of nowhere and say and take the number one spot from CC Sabathia. CC Sabathia is the ace. You know what I mean? Sabathia is the ace. And, you know, Tanaka, if you want him to be the number three, then there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? So I don't know about the Yankees, man, and making Tanaka a number one starter. I think that, you know, they have to get used to him. He has to go through the league at least maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They got to see him a couple of times or whatever. You know what I mean? So I don't know if Tanaka is going to be a number one starter. Maybe down the line, he's young enough.
Yeah.
Maybe down the line, he might move up in the rotation or whatever. But right now, I think he's just stuck on the number. And that's not a bad spot to be, the number three starter. You know what I mean? That's not a bad place to be. And if Michael Pineda finally pitches and shows up, we might have something, man.
Keep an eye out on Michael Pineda.
I hope so, man.
100% now, and that ball is live coming out of
him. What does that mean?
Huh?
He's 100%.
Well, it's 100% for the Yankee staff to say he could come out and pitch, but we don't know when he starts throwing that ball, how much of 100% he really is going to be.
Say he's 100% with Pineda, I mean, you know, he was supposed to be 100% when he came back before he got hurt. So, you know, he's down, you know what I mean, to about 260, so he took some weight off or whatever. So hopefully, you know, if he'll be an X factor, you know what I mean? If he would be a big help to my rotation, man, if he can show up and pitch to, you know, to his expectations. Ivan Nova, you know what I mean? There's a lot of pressure on him. He's got to show up too, you know what I mean? We ain't forgetting about Ivan Nova, you know what I'm saying? So we got the back end of the bullpen. I'm not really too worried about David Robinson. I think he's going to hold his own as a closer. You think so?
I
think he did okay. David Robinson did all right.
I shared with you. I was hoping that we signed Fernando Rodney or Balfour or somebody. I was praying.
I don't trust David Robinson, man.
But you know why I say no? You know what it is really? It's not so much I don't trust David Robinson. I just don't trust him getting injured. Who do we have if he gets injured? That's where I was at.
We signed the kid Matt Thornton as a free agent. You know what I mean? And I mean, and again, it still doesn't hurt to have, you know, you can never have too much pitching. You know what I'm saying?
And, yeah, but we,
you know,
we have
did
a
let
lack of
Jabba Chamberlain went to Detroit, you know,
yeah.
And Boone Logan, I think, went to the Dodgers, I think.
No, he went to Colorado, Boone Logan.
Colorado, excuse me. So he went to Colorado Rockies. So, you know, we never have too much pitching. But, I mean, I like David Robinson, man, in the closer role. I think he's going to do, you know, he's not going to be Mariano. Nobody's going to be Mariano. You know what I'm saying? But I think that he's going to, you know, do his numbers. He's going to, you know, pitch well and represent, man. You know, so,
I could guarantee you when it's getting ready to come into somewhere August, September, if we're right there, look for Mariano to come back. Just don't be
shocked. Do we have a shotgun effect or a drowning effect or something like that? Or a horn or something?
Something
going down the drain. Do we have an effect, sound effect like that? Because we need that right now. Because that was the not top 10 moment of the week on After Further Review. This man had the... Oh, man. He said in August or September. Ikea. Yes, there you go. Give him the Bronx chair. Yes, there you go. Play the crowd effect backwards or something.
I did tell y'all we were going to get to
Knockout. That wasn't too hot. Huh?
I did say we were going to get Tanaka, though.
You did say we were going to get Tanaka.
Yeah,
but
I did.
You just lost it, man. You just said that. No, all that we're going to get Tanaka is gone now because you said that we're going to get Mariano is going to come back.
Why not?
Come on, yo.
I mean, seriously, does he really look like he wanted to retire last year, honestly?
I think he should have retired when he got hurt in Kansas City. I think that should have been it.
No, come on. You can't go out like that. You can't go out like that. He came back, got a great year for us last year. You can't go out like that.
I don't know how great it was. We could talk about Mariano now. For all the good that he did, last year he blew a few games. Usually blows a couple every season, but he blew a few. And you knew it was coming. You could see it was coming. You know what I mean? So, I mean, no disrespect to Mariano Rivera. Real talk. But you know what? You already know me. I'm a hard body karate Yankee fan. I stand up for my Yankees all the time, but I give them the business when they wrong. As much as I love Mariano Rivera and much as he did for the Yankees in this, he threw my World Series away in 2001.
Right. You should never
he
give
threw
it
away,
to
I'm telling you, he threw my World Series away. We was playing Arizona. Game 7. A ball hit right back to him. He turned around and threw the ball wide at second base, and Derek Jeter got hurt because the dude spiked Derek Jeter in the ankle.
Yeah. He's human.
The infield was in. Gonzalez hit a blooper over the infield. Run scores. Arizona wins the World Series. Come on. I couldn't be mad at Mariano Rivera. I couldn't be mad at him.
Well,
I just knew we was going to win that World Series, yo. We would have four in a row. What? We would have four World Series in a row, son. What? You couldn't tell me nothing. But I was like, nah, something ain't right. Gave up that first hit, and Arizona was just going crazy, yo. That World Series was a great World Series, yo.
So would you tell me right now, if you could rewind back time and you had Dave Robinson out there, would you put Dave Robinson instead of the greatest relief pitcher of all time?
No, why would I not put the greatest relief pitcher of all time?
No, but the way it's like you putting it is like, you know, Rivera was supposed to do this, supposed to do that. I mean, he's human.
Mariano's had his moments, but Mariano threw a World Series away. You can't front on that. I'm not saying that Mariano's garbage. I'm going to never say that. Mariano's one of the greatest Yankees of all time. But I'm just saying, Mariano threw a World Series away.
He didn't throw that World Series away.
I agree with you, Kia.
He didn't throw that World Series away.
We just lost it. He gave up a run. That's all I can say. He didn't give it away. We just lost the game.
Okay.
I know it's a tough pill to swallow. Hey, listen.
Hold on. I had to catch my thought for a second. Now I'm back in the building. Tell me why he didn't throw it away.
Well, he didn't throw it away.
No. You're going to come on. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you all the reasons why he did. And now you coming out of left field. You tell me why he did. Kia.
He gave up that run, yes.
Gave up what run?
He
No.
Don't tell me it was this and the other thing. Gave up what run?
For Gonzalez.
No, that was before. That was before that. But what happened before that? Gonzalez got the hit. Council scored from third base. What happened before that? Since he didn't throw the World Series away.
Refresh my memory.
Oh, okay. I think so. I think so.
Refresh my memory. What happened before that?
Tony was at first base. We had one out.
Mm-hmm.
Council was up. Bound ball hit to Mariano Rivera off the mound. He comes off the mound. He turns around. He throws it wide at second base. Jeter has to reach for the ball. Tony Phillips comes. No, it wasn't Phillips. It was Council. Council came in, spiked Jeter in the ankle with the third base. Okay? And let me rewind it. Let me back forward since he didn't throw the World Series away. The ball was hit right to him. Simple ground ball to the mound. Mariano Copps comes off the mound, turns around, spins around, throws the ball wide of second base. I repeat, throws the ball wide of second base. We had the World Series won. We had it wrapped up.
Those
we had it won. Man. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me finish my thoughts since ain't nobody got nothing to say.
Well, that's
hold on. No. Hold on. Let me finish my thought. And then you can come and tell me how he didn't throw it away. Okay? Castro goes to third. Gonzalez comes up. Bloop single over the infield was drawn in. The infield was drawn in, right? A bloop single over the infield. Castro scores. Diamondbacks win the World Series. Everybody go home. Now, how did Mariano not throw it away? And I'm not taking nothing away from him. That's just one that sticks in my craw. That's one I just remember, like, yo. We could have had four in a row, but I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying, yeah, I say he threw it away because he did throw it away. If he'd have made a throw like he usually makes 1,000 out of 1,000 times, that would have been it. World Series would have been over.
Well, you know
that's
what,
all?
Though? But you know what, though? Listen, things happen with people, okay?
Yeah, but I'm greedy, man. I'm greedy. I wanted that. I needed that.
Well,
that would have been great for the city. It would have been, you know, that was the 9/11 whatever situation with that.
We needed that.
And you
them.
Already know that Mr. November World Series where Jeter hit the home, Brocious hit the home run, and Jeter hit the home run. Boy, we were supposed to win that World Series.
Yeah.
Oh, but we didn't.
Yeah, but we didn't.
But
you know what I mean?
I'm not taking anything away from it.
But But as far as Mariano Rivera coming back, come on, yo.
Why not?
Why? Why? For what? So we could go through the whole retirement tour again, and they could give him broken bat chairs and all this stuff again? Nah, man. How many times can you retire? How many times are you supposed to say, this is my last game I'm ever going to play? I'm not coming back. How many times are you supposed to say that? Who we Sugar Ray Leonard now?
That happens to a lot of people.
Now?
So that happens to a lot of people. You stay home, you're bored, you're watching the excitement, you're watching this, you know you still got it.
Come on,
son.
Sometimes you just gotta get that subscription to the newspaper and let it rock, man.
It's easier said than done. Sometimes
you just gotta get that subscription to the newspaper, man, and learn how to grow some tomatoes or something, man. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, look at Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit went home for a year and came back. I mean, you know, that happens.
Andy Pettit was following Roger Clemens around. Andy Pettit went down to Houston, played for Houston, got bored out there, and came back to the Yankees. I'm like, what? Following Roger Clemens. And you see where that got him.
It's a big difference if
you
go around.
You see where that got him in front of Congress. You see where that got him. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I don't understand people, you know, you retire and this and that, and you come back and, you know, you get the itch. And I don't know, man. You know, some people, you know, but what about the ones that overstay their welcome? What about them?
Well, see, those are the ones that's over the top, though. Those people are finished. Reverse still has like 2-3 years left in his arm. We're talking about listen, you're not talking about no average person here. You're talking about Mariano Rivera. If Rivera decides he wants to come back right now, spring training, Yankees open up with open arms tonight. Do you think they? Do you think?
But you let me know. You let me know if Mariano Rivera decides to come back.
I hope he does. I really do. Just like I was playing. I was playing a couple years ago when Mussina retired. I hope he had came back, and I didn't like Mussina. I'm just telling you.
I didn't like Mussina either, but I felt bad for him that he didn't get a ring.
No, that's his problem. I felt bad for Don Mariano, too.
He said that's his problem.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, look at Don Mattingly. Don Mattingly played 100 years for the Yankees. The first year he retired.
I mean, you know, that situation with Don Mattingly, you know, Don Mattingly, you know, that one playoff series he had against Seattle or whatever, he did his numbers. You know what I mean? We just got beat in 95 by Seattle, man. We got beat by a better team, man. So, you know, it wasn't meant to be for Don Mattingly. I feel bad about that one, too, but it is what it is, man.
Seattle was loaded. They had everybody there.
Yeah, Seattle was loaded, man. That was a great championship series, man. But I just, you know, David Cone, 156 pitches. See, that's the type of stuff you don't forget. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
David Cone, 156 pitches. That's the year they let Derek Jeter sit on the bench.
Right.
They let Jeter and Jorge Posada and them sit on the bench. You know what I mean? And take it all in. And the Mariners, they were Jay Buhner, Martinez, Griffey,
A-Rod,
you know what I mean? Who was
Randy Johnson?
They had Randy Johnson. Who was their catcher?
I have to call back on
another Wilson. Dan Wilson was their catcher. They had Dan Wilson. They had Randy Johnson, Edgar Martinez, Jay Buhner, Vince Coleman. They had a good team, man. And I just was like, yo, man. When Griffey was not going to stop at third base. For nothing, yo. Edgar Martinez?
That's when the Yankees went behind the ears.
Kill the Yankees, yo. Edgar Martinez used to kill the Yankees, yo. Edgar Martinez would kill us. And when the Mariners used to come to Yankee Stadium, when they had Buhner, they had Griffey in center, and I think they had this kid named Davis in left field. We would always, you know, they would always be trying to get on Griffey, and Griffey would be sticking his middle finger up at him.
Yeah.
Griffey turned his nose up at him. I mean, it's all in fun. You know what I mean? Because I'm just sitting 203, man, the bleacher creatures and all that, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it would go down out there. And Griffey and Buhner would be, like, sticking their middle fingers up at people. And he'd be like, watch the next time I get up, I'm in a home run. Watch.
Yeah.
Got up and cracked one of the upper deck and would just stand there and watch it.
Yeah.
Best swing.
Griffey was
best
so
swing
ill.
Ever.
Oh, man. I used to
best
hate the Mariners.
Ever.
Man. They had Griffey, A-Rod, and Buhner.
Yep.
And,
Worst thing Griffey did is go to the Reds. The worst thing Griffey did is go to the Reds. Remember, he didn't do nothing.
Yeah, he went to Cincinnati, man. You know, call himself going home or whatever, man. He just stayed hurt a lot, yo.
Yeah, stayed hurt.
He just stayed hurt, man. If he didn't, you know, stay hurt, man, we wouldn't even be talking. I don't think we'd be even talking about A-Rod like that, man. Griffey was that dude. Ken Griffey Jr. was really that dude, man. And he brought life to the game, and they tried to play him out because he would wear his hat to the back, you know, take a bat in practice and all that, you know what I mean? And you know, how was you disrespecting the game?
Well, they started to say the same thing about P.T. Stewart when him with the rock and the hat on the side when he first started playing with Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know,
and then Fernando Rodney does it now.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
C.C. Sabathia does it a little bit, wears it a little tilted to the side or whatever, but I don't understand how that's disrespecting the game.
We ain't gonna go into that part because
okay, we won't go.
That's another
topic. But yeah, man, I just feel like you know, George Steinbrenner will really be happy and really proud of you know how his team is coming along right now. We're spending a lot of money, which doesn't really you know constitute winning. But I think with the team that we're putting together right now, we're going to make some noise. And, yo, I got Diz on the line. I ain't never hear the bell. Yo, what is going on? Diz, what's good, man? Welcome to the biggest show, man. The world champion Seattle Seahawks, number one fan, my man in the building. Stand up. What's good?
Yo,
I've been waiting 2 weeks
on?
To give you the floor, man. The floor is yours, baby. Rock out.
Yo, I couldn't even do nothing last week. I couldn't even talk. I ain't even have no voice for last week, yo. My voice was shot from all that yelling and screaming. But, yo, I'm just blessed. I'm happy, man. I'm like, man, all them years, we talking, what, 32 years of the room for the Seahawks? And we finally got Justin and got a ring? So I'm blessed in that, and I'm happy. And I'm just happy the way we did it. Because it's just like, yo, it wasn't even no disrespect to Manning and his offense, but there was a lot of talk on that. But I'm like, yo, it's a lot of cats sleeping on my defense. And I've been saying that all year. Like, yeah, people knew about our defense being tough. But they didn't really know how tough we could be. And I'm like, yo, once we played them, I was like, yo, it was the perfect game. It was the perfect matchup for us. Because like KJ Wright said, He said when they was looking at film, he said everything Denver do caters to us. And the way they run their shallow crosses, because you seen when Demaryius Thomas caught that in the first quarter, my man Cam had to say hello to him.
Yes.
And you see when Wes Welker tried to do it in the third quarter, K.J. Wright had to say hello to him.
Mm-hmm.
But after them hits, was no more crosses at it. So was that just stopped all of it. And
no
I'm
doubt,
like, yo,
man. I had said even, you know, prior to, man, a couple weeks prior to, I was like, you know, the game might get ugly early, man, because I was just saying, like, you know, the consensus was like, oh, well, he doesn't have to throw to Richard Sherman. But there's no slouches on the other side either.
That's
so
the thing
now they're gonna go.
Man.
They're gonna do the underneath routes. Well, them linebackers are no slouches. Where are you gonna go with the ball?
Yo,
that you're not gonna get popped.
And like with Byron Maxwell,
yeah.
Everybody was looking at him because he had to replace.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter Thurman replaced Brandon Brown, so he was like the third string.
Right.
He's been playing with us for the longest, and he had to start last year when Brandon Brown got hurt.
Right.
So. Once all that came into fruition, it was just like he already knew what to do because he was implementing it to it. That's why he was able to get them four interceptions in his last five games.
Right.
So once he got it in there, it was just like, all right, you're going to throw to him if you want to. But if he gained intercepting, he's going to punch the ball out. And that's what he did with Demaryius Thomas. And that's
right.
The main interception. He's going to punch that ball out. So with that being said, oh, man, I'm just hopefully glad that, you know, I was able to enjoy it and see it. And shout out to Chris Carter. For being an idiot.
Yeah.
For the day.
Yeah.
Shout that dude out. When you see or hear from that dude since, you notice that.
Mm.
You don't hear from that dude. Doug Baldwin screamed on him, which he had every right. It was
right.
Like, all right, he's screaming, but we doing our thing. But I'm just waiting, looking forward to next year to see what's going on with them. Because, you know, in the NFL, people are like, well, they got a young team that could be the dynasty. I'm like, whoa, hold on. There's this thing called free agency.
Right.
Understand
what you're dealing with. That's right.
Yeah. Like, yo, you'll fall back on that because it's like, yo, Mike Bennett, that's like the main one we want to resign, and he want to come back, but
yeah, you got him.
You
need to be thanking me for him. You came from Tampa Bay. You can
welcome. Hey, and shout out to him. My man from Detroit, a Detroit fan.
Oh, he's on hiatus right now.
He just lost
his basketball coach, and he's going through hard times right now.
Oh,
so,
yeah, no doubt.
You know,
I wanted to shout him out, too, because when he was talking about with Cliff Averill, it was just, he was like, thank you, because he's always hurt. I'm like, yeah, but the way he got him in our system, he don't start. Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett didn't even start for us. They came in handy when it came for that pass rush. That's what it is.
In regards, you brought up something about, you know, next season and things of that nature. In regards to, you know, we already know that, you know, the guys like your Shermans and the Wilsons are playing on their first contract and things of that nature. Do you see them re-signing with Seattle? I think Paul Allen's going to be like, you know what, you got me a ring. You know, here's some money. You know what I mean? So I don't think, in regards to being a Seahawks fan, do you think the team is going to stay together, you know, beyond next year?
That's an interesting question, but the way I look at it is this. Yo, them dudes is so close on and off the field. And that's what some Earl Thomas said after we won the NFC Championship. He was like, L.O.B., baby, we're going to be together for a long, long time.
Okay.
So it all depends. Like, Ken Chancellor's already signed his contract. It's just Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. They get to, you know, break the bank next year. But we got Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, and we got Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So we got to worry about keeping this nucleus. If we can keep that secondary together, I'm thinking we're in pretty good shape. But we got to wait. Like I said, that free agency ain't no joke.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's going to be a lot of people stepping too. But again, like you said, if they got that that togetherness vibe, man, you know what I mean? They rocked out, man. You know, they basically won a championship on the cheap. But, you know, it is what it is, man. That's the price you pay, man. You win your championship your first 2 or 3 years or whatever. Of course, you're not going to be making the millions and millions of dollars because you're still playing on your first deal, which is fine. Right. So you always can renegotiate that because you got your ring in your pocket now, man. But I just wanted to salute, man, the Seattle Seahawks and all that, man. Y'all did it and all that good stuff, man. Shout out to, you know, Questfield. September 4th is going down. You guys opening up the season and all that good stuff. So when the first snap of the game, so what do you think? You see, you're getting comfortable, you know what I mean, settling in, getting ready for a good game. First snap of the game, rolls into the back of the end zone. What are you thinking right there?
First snap of the game for who? For us? We got the ball.
No, for Denver. The first snap of the game when the safety.
Oh, when they I don't know. I kind of blacked out after I saw the ball sail over his head. Yo, I don't know what happened. I said a whole bunch of explicits because I know we don't
say this. Said a whole bunch of explicits?
Yeah, a whole lot of explicits. And then I blacked out. And I was like, I said, okay, but you know what? This is Peyton Manning. You can't trust. It's crazy, but we get the ball back.
Right, and you get the ball back. But what was scaring me, you kept getting the ball back and you kept getting field goals. I was like, oh, man, they keeping them in the game. This game should be a blowout. Because I kept talking junk, Diz. I kept saying, yo, this might get ugly early. I kept saying it like 2 weeks, 3 weeks before. I said, this bowl might get ugly early. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying?
When we had them eight zip, I was like, yo, if we get the ball again, we cannot kick a field goal.
Right.
We
got
to put it in the end zone.
Yep.
And once
yep.
we did that, I felt better. But then when Michael Smith got that interception, I was like,
uh-oh.
They got problems.
Yep.
They got problems because we didn't lose a lead of more than 13 points in over 3 years. So I was like, oh, they got problems. And now you know Peyton ain't going to be running the ball. And that's what, like, the sound effects they had it on NFL Network. So Pete Carroll was saying the same thing I thought he was going to say. He was like, yo, he's like, who cares? He said, I can't give a damn if they run the ball. Let them run the ball. We just run up and tackle them. They let them pass it. That's what we waiting for them to pass. And that's what we did. We just sat there and we, you know, we just got hungry and we ate. But, yo, I'm feeling good about that. But, yo, I got to keep it moving because I'm at work, and you know I'm
going
to work.
Hey, thank you for calling, my G. I just wanted to give you the floor, man. You know what it is, man. You're welcome anytime, man. Shout out to Jerome and all that, man. You know what I mean?
All right, I'll see y'all later on.
All right, peace, cousin.
All right.
That's my man, DJ Diz, from the world champion Seattle Seahawks, getting his 2 cents in. They had to give him the floor for a hot minute. Yo, before we get out of here, man, we got like 10 minutes left in the show, man. I just want to give a quick rundown, man. You know what I mean? We talked about the topic of the day or whatever. We kept it moving and all that stuff right there. Had a good conversation, man. Had the little homies on from Brooklyn Jayhawks. Thanks again to Mr. Hollywood, man, for bringing the homies through. Taquan Pearson, Emmanuel Jones, and Jalen Gray, man. Wish them all the success in the world. I look forward to hearing from them again in the near future, man. And definitely checking out the practices and the games, man. The mayor's going to be in the building, man. And it is what it is, man. Barry on the check-in, Kia on the definite check-in, you know what I mean? And shout out to everybody, man. You know, you just got to – sometimes you got to look inside yourself, man, and think about what you want to do and how you want to present yourself to people, you know what I mean? You know, eventually people are going to take sides, and you're going to really see where they are. With the Michael Sam situation, you know, nobody really cared about that until, you know, he made his decision or whatever. He was just a nice linebacker that played at Missouri, and he was All-American, you know what I mean? Now he's got another label, I'll put it like that, attached to his name. Some might make it fair, some might make it unfair. Now they're saying that the draft in April, the NFL draft in April, is going to be very interesting. A lot of pressure is being applied now, and I think put on to these NFL teams. Do they pick him? Do they, you know, pick him because he's a good football player, or do they want the, you know, attention that comes along with that? You know, opinions, you know, they run the gamut. You know what I'm saying? So it's basically the final decision is up to whatever NFL team decides that he's worthy enough of being a draft pick. And whatever city, you know, he's being drafted in, man, you know, accepts him in the locker room, accepts him with open arms. Now, that's going to be the hurdle right there. Whatever locker room, like the homie said earlier, you know, it's going to be a different situation in the locker room. And they even were saying, some of his ex-Missouri teammates were saying that, you know, it wasn't all peachy keen in the Missouri locker room either. So, again, you know, where do you, you know, where do you, you know,
put your loyalties at? Do you ride with him because he's a football player, or are you just going to ride with him because of his orientation and all of that? So, I mean, my whole point being from the beginning of the show when we talked about it was that really, what does the orientation component have to do with what he does on the field? You know what I'm saying? And we got a lot of feedback on that. Like, it is going to be a situation in the locker room where, his teammates, some of them might not be as accepting. And, that's just something that, he has to deal with, and the organization that drafts him has to deal with. You're listening to After Further Review, man, on GQ Palace Radio. We're in the building every Tuesday night, man, from 8 to 10.
Can I say something about that?
Go ahead, man. Chime in.
Yeah, do you think that there's no gay players in there now, that they're not saying nothing? Do you really believe that? Or
believe what now?
Do you really believe that there's not a gay player in there that just hasn't come out?
Do I believe that they're gay NFL players right now?
Yeah, that's
I don't know for sure, but I would probably say yeah. If I had, gun to my head and asked that, I'd be like, yeah, probably.
Well, you know what? Antonio Pierce said there was two in the Giants.
I guess he would know.
And he had a really, they was his teammates, so he said he was pretty sure. And he said, it is what it is.
Yeah, what you gonna do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you, everybody has been, dealing with that situation in one way or another, either you got, a person of that persuasion in your family, or you know them, or you work with them, or you come across them, so what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't understand what the big, all of a sudden it's turned into a 2-hour Lifetime TV movie all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? I don't get that part. Where does it say that now that he's going to be looked at different because of this, announcement? And I kind of got a little better understanding, because at first I didn't really have a clear understanding of it. Why you just can't be who you are, but you have to worry about the reaction, the comeback,
yes,
the feedback, okay? And all of it might not be positive, so you have to be able – are you strong enough to be able to deal with the feedback? That's all. And I get it now. I get it. I get that part now. So I kind of understand why you have to kind of, pick your spots and kind of, put your toe in the water and then see what the response is going to be. And then if, you're comfortable with it, then you rock out. So obviously he was at a point in his situation where – he felt comfortable enough to come out with it now, and hopefully good things to happen for him in the future. We get ready to get out of here. Kia, you got anything to say before we get out of here, real quick?
No, just looking forward to baseball. That's about it.
You better have your baseball preview ready for me too, because the season starts early this year. The season starts early this year. That's what I'm saying. I'm giving you a heads up. The season starts.
I'm having the Yankees. I'm already saying I'm having the Yankees win it all.
She just blew the whole surprise. So just take this. Okay, there you go. We taped it. So we'll put with the baseball preview. We do the preview. We'll just tape that part. He just said the Yankees gonna win it all. Mr. Hollywood, you still with us? He was got some coaching to do. Barry, you in the building?
Yes, I'm here, brother.
All right, real quick, man. You got anything to say before we get out of here?
Yeah, I just can't wait for the baseball season.
Mr. Hollywood is here.
Can't wait for the season, and I'm just enjoying doing this with you, man. It's like an honor and a pleasure that we have fun. And that's what it's about, debating. You can't say nobody's right or wrong. They're paying.
Yeah, no
exactly.
doubt.
Exactly.
And when I leave out of here, I don't have no bodyguards with me. So it is what it is. Mr. Hollywood, man, before we get out of here, man, you got anything to say before we go?
Yes, sir. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, the Jayhawks are your hookup. Holler if you hear me. Thanks.
That's what it is, man. And again, man, thank your dudes for me, man. Taquan, Manuel, and Jalen, man. Thank you for coming through. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to their parents for allowing them to rock out with the man, on a Tuesday night. Shout out to all the listeners, man, who check in with me, man. 8 to 10 every Tuesday night, man. You know the math, 646-200-3838. You press 1 to get in on the conversation. Shout out to the homie Shay. I see you, man. You know what I mean? Shout out to everybody, man. Shout out to you, man. Shout out to Rich, the big homie behind the board, Miss Lavina. I don't even know Lavina a couple times tonight. She's going to be mad at me, but it's all good. You know what I'm saying?
Can I give a shout out to somebody?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I'm shouting out to Miss T. I hope you're feeling better.
Shout out to Miss T. Hope you're feeling better.
You know what I mean? Miss hearing that crazy deranged laugh every right. Tuesday night. But it goes down. Shout out to you. Hope you're doing all right. Shout out to everybody, man, who checks out GQ Palace Radio, man, the magazine, the web page. Check us out on Twitter. Miss Lavina be hitting me in the head on Twitter. You know what I mean? Yo, man, you got to do the show tonight. It's going down. I got you covered. You know what it is. We rock out, man. We have fun with it. You know what it is. Tomorrow night, you got the Divas in the building. Miss Angie, Miss Rachel will be in the house. Miss T is on the sideline recuperating. You know what I mean? Get well quicker and all that. Chicky Chick in the building right after them. The Belvins on Thursday. Big KL in the house. This Tiffany, I see you. You know what I mean? Rich on Friday nights with the entertainment thing. He's got some big things coming, man, for the 2014 season. Miss Lavina, man, Sunday, Spiritual Sundays, they do it up big. My homie, Scribio, I got you on my verse, fam. He does his thing on Sundays and then Mondays. You know what it is with Unsigned Artist Radio. You never know who might be stopping through to check it out. So, yo, man, we do our thing. One more again. I'm out. It's the man. I've been rocking with you. After Further Review, man, check me out, man, every day. After Further Review on Facebook, man. War Room Sports, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Shout out to Shot 97. Shout out to Not 97. I see you. It's what it is, man. Get with y'all next Tuesday. This is the man. Peace. Love.
Hey y'all, this is Half Pipe, and at the Further Review, I'm checking out DeMayo on GQ Palace Radio.
It's butter, baby.
Oh yeah.
I like to work more of my to the world famous Murder Inc. show. They call me the Mighty Rule. How you living? It's real tough. And when I ask all my gang the real question, what do you do when that do?
Clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Let's take it to
one. Clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Take it to one.
Clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Let's take it to
one. Clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
When they hollering about rules, here's the real. I pop the top like champagne bottles to chill or nothing but ice. Now I'll send it up to the greatest and tell him I'm nice too. Plus push some nice goals to ink roll like Deuce, man. I'm OG Bobby J, and we slinging soccer fields, yeah. You respect that, or get your mind around and get it pushed back. Yeah, I don't want that. I send them to the morgue, I keep it my bouncing for sure. In the club with no gun, got them taking it off.
Can't help that.
I'm that that puts it down once I hit that. To them up in the mind, axing them home in the throwback. West, 44 Lakers, let's make no mistakes with these F-State plays. What's the procedure with a gun in your face when you got one in your waist? Let's cop back. Hey, I'm
coming. Clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back. We gon' clap back.
Let's take it to one.
We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Let's take it to one.
We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Let's take it to one.
We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Who's in the club? Room up. Pop in the bubbly, get ugly, I hug the snuff closely. But usually used to see you bouncing on the freak, trying to ride my I can handle it, long as they manage to get their in front of my and dance the big for more chance. I'm catching hate from a glance, but I'm a giant, this man ants, I'm stomping my way to shame. The backhand, pip, it's not realistic, the game is heavy, it's not getting twisted. I'm young, black, and gifted, but still at the bottom, it's stuck somewhere between Gomorrah and Sodom. I'm here to make this rap hotter than Harlem. The dog beware, wounds, I'm the problem. What's the procedure with a gun in your face when you got one in your waist? Just cock back, hey, I'm
come on, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Let's take it to one.
We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Take it to one.
We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Take it to one.
We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Take it to one. Like Bush is a dumb, I'ma find out what M lies is hotter than bomb. First, it could be much worse, I could be hotter than your scrubs. Mask and gloves done hot to burn that stuff. I'd rather be bossed up with a bunch of bras, a preacher though, that's screaming out the law. I may have struck the chord with the Christians, but y'all got the freakiest that are all the religions. And God gave me this blessing to handle my business on these ranks of snitches. Let the Nina blow kisses, if she somehow misses, he gon' meet the mistress. And clap that boy like Birdman Eclipse. All over my dick like I'm the star of these shows. I must be as hot as they come. What's the procedure with a gun in your face when you got one in your
clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back. We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back. We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back. We gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back, we gon' clap back.
Come on, yeah, that's how we do it, you know what I mean? Buck 89, what's up, baby?
Break it down, break it down.
In the house. It's not a game
Queens
no
in this mother,
you know, on my jersey.